Blog Talk Radio. Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, unfortunately, will not be Nicole, my co-host and producer. She's getting married tomorrow. I'm so happy to share that with you because she has definitely been practicing the Grant Me a Higher Love principles, and she certainly has a wonderful soulmate. So I'm very happy for her. Now, since I'm going to be manning the ship alone today, we're going to have to bear with my technical problems that may occur on Blog Talk Radio because Nicole's usually the engineer of this show, but I will try to do my very, very, very best. Now, we have a lot of listeners today, and I think I'm going to just go right in and pick the person who's been waiting for at least 15 minutes. Your first digits of your number are 201, and the last four digits are 3640, so you'll know that I'll be picking you up. Hi, it's Cindy, and you're live and on the air. Thank you for calling our show tonight.
Hi, Cindy. This is Rose.
Hi, Rose. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New Jersey.
Okay, so you're not too far from us. You know, we're in New York, so I'm so glad to hear from you. And I'm sure there's something that must have been on your mind today because you've been waiting a while. So you can start asking me your questions.
I want to know about my love life. I'm single, and, of course, I'm looking to meet a very nice guy, and I want to know what you say.
Oh, I love that you want a very nice guy. I'm glad that you, at least you know that you want a nice man here. And I'm going to shuffle them up. Well, it looks like in the past you haven't always chosen the best men. So I think, have you learned from that lesson? Have you learned to trust your judgment a little bit? You tended to be the kind of person that falls for the princes that become the beast, which means you have no idea what you signed on for.
You're right. Oh, my goodness.
And that's because, Rose, you're a very, very older soul. You're a person that's not your first venture around this planet. And you think, oh, okay, if Rose has been around the block a few times, how come this hasn't been the easiest lifetime for her? Well, you've basically had to learn to stop seeing the world through rose-colored glasses and stop seeing the best in everybody and try to see what's really there. Are you beginning to look at the world now and see the good, bad, and ugly of people rather than just the good in them?
Yeah, I've changed, unfortunately. I like to see the good in everyone, but you have to be careful because not everyone's good.
Right, thank you. And I know like it's very hard for a soul of your magnitude to understand the lessons that you have to be learning, but seeing the good in everybody and bringing the best out in them and giving them the benefit of the doubt, not trusting your gut, something's not right here, could allow you to dine with Hitler and Mussolini in 1944 and they would be great guys to you. So you have to start realizing the way you're seeing the world is correct. I'm not asking you to get jaded. Nobody's jaded here. But just trust your gut. You know, when you meet somebody and if your gut tells you he's lying, he's lying. You don't need to wait till you get venereal disease or he steals from you. So I think, you know, you've been tested a little bit in your judgment with guys coming now. Are you faster at noticing who's not good now?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it probably astounds you. Like, oh, it only took me, like, 2 minutes. Oh, it took me, like, a week. It didn't take me, like, 20 years. Hey, this is pretty good here.
Right.
And
you're
God
amazing.
Tested you. God had to test you a little bit, Rose, just to see, okay, we want to make sure that, you know, you learned that you can't fix people. Did you learn that yet?
Yes.
That you can't fix people. I mean, there are certain people who will not be fixed in this lifetime. Not by me, not by you, not by God. They would have to fix themselves. And those are the people that are the narcissists. They rewrite history. It's never their fault. they leave out a lot of facts. They don't tell us the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And they're very judgmental people. It's never their fault. It's your fault, Obama's fault, their mother's fault, their father's fault. Narcissists who judge others are pretty unfixable over the age of 25. So you might want to pay attention to those traits in a person. You meet him and he's blaming everything on everybody else and he can't find work. There's no work and he's judging everybody. Run for the hills. Run as fast as you can. This man who's showing up, by the way, is very hardworking. Besides being a nice person, he has something to show for his time on the planet. So he has some money. He's hardworking. He's kind. He's a very kind man. He's also had to learn a lot of the same lessons you did. He had to, fall for the princess that became the beast. He had to realize he couldn't fix people. You're really a fixer, by the way, Rose. It's going to be hard for you, to stop with the fixing. Do you know that you're really, you're really a fixer of things? And, at this point in your life, this guy does not need fixing. Okay, so it might strike you as being, wow, this is a guy that's really got his act together. You'll be two equals. He won't try to own you. You won't be mommy to a boy. So, how long have you been looking now? How long have you been single?
Oh, my goodness, about 4.5 years.
Okay, good.
But
I'm glad you said that.
Dating, because I'm ready now. I was deeply wounded, and that's why I wasn't able to move on. But I am now.
Okay, good. And relationships tend to work in 5-year cycles or lack of relationships. So you're almost going to be at the 5-year mark of not having one. And it seems like that's when this man's going to be brought. You had to learn to stand on your own 2 feet without a man. And that's not easy, but it's when you do that, then you won't settle for a man who's going to hurt you. You won't want to take abuse from someone. You're going to say, I don't need this. So you really are at the right moment of meeting someone. Now, do you do anything to meet anybody?
Yeah,
by the
way, I've been going out. Mm-hmm. I've been going to singles dances, actually, and meeting a lot of people.
Okay, good. And, sometimes the energy in single places isn't the best because the women are very uptight. There's, usually a shortage of men, and the women aren't necessarily friendly, and the men are kind of uptight. Try to just be there and have fun. Don't worry about, are you going to meet a guy there? Maybe you could meet a new friend, and through her you could meet her brother or her friend. So kind of change the energy there a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's my attitude to nice crowds, so I feel like I'm going to continue going.
Right, and just make friends.
Yeah, even if they're women, I'll make friends, yeah, because they might have a brother or somebody that they know. Exactly.
And that's what's most important in getting out, because you can't say, I want love, and not do anything to go out and manifest it. God can't airdrop your lover into your living room. You have to get out there. But it looks through, the singles and meeting a new friend or two, and through those people you're going to meet him. Whose father has passed away, by the way? Whose father has passed away?
Oh, I don't know.
I think this is your father's father, your grandfather.
Never met him.
Okay, he's a man who's up there claiming that he knows who your soulmate is. So I'm glad. Soulmate love always comes from God and someone who's crossed over. And he's saying this is a really good man. So don't get discouraged. I know you were hurt a long time, but you don't want to be alone the rest of your life, do you?
No.
No. So, what's our choice? Our choice is to get out there, even though you were hurt. Did you examine that relationship, your past relationship, and to see that there were probably red flags that you ignored?
Oh, yes, of course.
So that this time you're going to go in with your eyes open, not ignoring red flags. But this is a very good year coming up for you, 2016. So
great.
The love looks really good. You also have a very good 5-year period. So, get out there, have a lot of fun. Again, go to the singles events just to have fun. Don't go there, think, oh, it was not good because I didn't meet a guy. Because it's not the object. The object is expanding your soul group, making some new friends, and through that. I mean, I used to do lectures a lot at singles events, and I really disliked it because I found that the energy was bad because everybody was so uptight. They were so, unhappy if they weren't meeting anybody there, and I was like, that's not what it's about. It's about getting out there, expanding your world. And, you know, it's very possible you could meet him there. I'm not saying you can't. But, you know, every time you come back from there, just know you've had fun, you've met new people. But it's also a very strong soulmate card came up. So this is a man that's someone you're going to love with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. I mean, it's the real deal. It's the real deal. So, you know, if you meet a man and he's really a nice guy in the next couple of months, but you don't feel a really deep connection with him, don't settle. Because this man is not a settling kind of guy, you know. You didn't come this far in liberation, standing on your own 2 feet, to settle. So just be a little bit patient. That's all I'm asking you. So I'm so happy that you called in, because it really is wonderful. And you can always call into our show and let you know when this love manifests, because we really love hearing that, by the way.
You see me making amends with my two past exes?
Why would you want to make amends with them?
I don't know. I just want to.
You're going back to being that person who, you know.
Oh, no, not to
go
back out with them. Just to get on a speaking level with them.
Well, do you have children with them?
No, I do not.
So why would you want to connect with people who've broken your heart or hurt you? I mean, you can forgive them on a soul plane, which means you can forgive the person, but not necessarily their actions. Maybe you need to forgive yourself over things. But what happens is people tend to keep one foot with their exes, one foot in the future. It's best to close doors with people that it didn't work out with, because you don't really want them coming and going in your life. You know, can you give an example of why you might have broken up with your last ex, or why that didn't work? Like, what did he do, or what happened between the two of you?
Yeah.
Well, what did he do to hurt you?
I just don't want to talk about it right now.
Okay, but it was bad enough that you don't want to talk about it on the air, but you wanted him back in your life, and you want to make amends. Can you see how maybe you should close the door on it?
All right.
And, you know, older souls want everybody to like them. They're very uncomfortable when people don't like them. But I want you to love yourself the way you would love your own child. If someone did to your child what these men did to you, would you want your child to let them back in that child's life, or would you say better to keep the door closed?
You're right.
Okay, that's how you have to look at any situation. If it was done to someone I love and I take care of, would I say this is okay, turn the other cheek, or would I say, that was really unacceptable? And that way you can make peace with it, realize that it's better off that they're not in your life. But we have to get over wanting everybody to like us and, you know, wanting to fix every situation. In walking away from the men or not being with them, you've taught them a very powerful lesson that you're going to lose the love of your life or a good person if you're going to behave that way. So your intention in walking away or not being with them is not necessarily to hurt them. It's to teach. And a place of self-love. You must have come to a place of self-love that you deserve better than what these men were doing to you.
Mm-hmm.
And,
wow.
You know, if love gets really toxic, by the way, it becomes an addiction, and sometimes we just want to go back for a fix. Let's give you one little brief shot of this thing that's killing me. Kind of close the door, and in closing the door completely, you're giving a message to the universe that you want something better. If you start opening closed doors, the universe looks at it as, okay, she hasn't resolved karma with these guys. Maybe she still thinks she wants them, so they will not bring this other man into alignment with you. So closing doors is important.
Okay.
And, you know, there's plenty of people, I mean, if they call you and they want to apologize or make amends, of course you can accept it, but it doesn't mean reconciliation. You know, realizing they will hurt you again. You know, people who hurt people, the magnitude that these people have hurt you, don't really change. You know, they don't. They'll just come back and 3 months later they're doing the same nonsense. So close the door. Let us know when love manifests, because, you know,
I will. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And I'm going to try to take another caller. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay. I'm manning this whole ship all by myself, and I could see that my soulmate, my best friend and my husband, TJ, is ready to go on and talk. Hi, TJ, how are you?
Fine. Can you hear me good?
Yes, I can hear you good. Are you on the boat or you've landed?
No, I'm at the post office. I'm off the boat. It's dark. It was cold. Everything went well. I'll see you. I love you. And I always love listening to your voice. So I'll see you at around 10 o'clock, I guess.
Okay.
Or 9:30 or whatever, you know. I know what time it is. I love you,
okay,
sweetheart.
Okay.
Have a great
okay.
show. People are waiting. Okay, let them talk. I'm good. You're good. Bye-bye. Love
Bye.
You.
Okay, love you, too. Okay, now, let me see. We have a 781 number, and the last four digits are 5530. I'm going to put you on the air. Hi, it's Cindy. You're live and on the air.
Hey, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, and who is this beautiful voice I'm hearing?
My name is Trish. How are you?
Hi, Trish, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Connecticut.
Oh, okay. I'm a UConn girl. I love my Connecticut listeners. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
So you've been waiting a while. There must be something on your mind, or you wouldn't bother wanting to talk to us. So why don't you just ask me what's on your mind, and I'll see if I can try to help you. I certainly would want to.
Sure. So I've been dating someone for about 7 months, and we are trying to find, I guess, compromise to go to the next level, and currently are not together and wondering if we're going to be able to work this out.
Okay. I love the way you say 7 months, because things are pretty predictable in relationships. The first 3 to 6 months, the love is usually so strong that people manage to maintain this relationship. Around the six-month mark, issues start surfacing and people start, you know, saying, this is more than I can handle. I'm not ready for this. So it's not unusual around the seven-month mark that you guys won't be together. I mean, it happens. Do you feel that he was a soulmate? Did you have a very strong connection? Because it looks like there's a very strong connection here.
Yes, I do.
Okay, you felt that heart connection with him?
I did.
How about the soul? When you first met him, was he bringing out the best in you and you in him? We're talking about the very beginning.
Yeah, I would say that.
How about with your minds? Did you, when you first met, communicate well?
We did, actually. We communicated unusually well for two people that were complete strangers.
Thank you. And how about with your bodies? Did you have that really strong chemistry?
We did.
You have a sexual chemistry with him.
Right.
Okay, because soulmates have to have a very strong sexual component. When people tell me he's my soulmate, but we don't have a sexual energy, I go, that can't be your soulmate. It could be a soulmate friend. But soulmate lovers have this great chemistry because you're supposed to keep each other from the temptations of the world. You know, you have such a strong sexual dynamics that you won't want to cheat. You want to be together. Now, soulmate love is very strong in the beginning. There's what's called a recognition factor. That's what made you feel like you always knew him and you were very comfortable when you first met him and were communicating. And unfortunately, 45% of people are offered soulmate love. 1% maintain it. Because in order to maintain it, people have to commit to the love and commit to healing. And I'm not seeing that he's really committed to the love at this point. He's scared. Are you aware that he's afraid?
No.
I mean, he's got some commitment issues. He's afraid of commitment. And at some level, you guys are playing the game of blemish, looking for something that's wrong that won't make this work. When it's toxic love, people do horrible things to each other. They throw acid in each other's face. They cheat. You know, they have order of protection, and they still stay together. It seems like nothing toxic love can do to another person will stop them from seeing each other. With a soulmate love, sometimes it can be not such a major issue, and yet people can't seem to make it work. I mean, what kind of compromising do you have to do that's so big and so large that you're not together? What issue, can you name an issue that seems to be...
Well, yeah, I felt this whole relationship moved a bit too fast and wanted to slow it down.
Okay, now, soulmate love moves pretty fast, by the way. It doesn't move slow because you do know each other, You may be a closet commitment phobic, by the way. You may be afraid of commitment, and this man went fast. So I mean, I want to address some of your issues. There's three kinds of commitment phobia. There's the classic commitment phobic who says, I don't want love, and women keep chasing after him. He just told you he doesn't want what you're selling. Why are you chasing after him? But a woman who continually chases after an unavailable man, I would say, is a closet commitment phobic. And people who are given love and then they try to slow it down by seeing each other less or just getting scared would show some level of closet commitment phobia. I mean, were you hurt in the past? Because I'm seeing a toxic love affair in the past here. Did you have a relationship that didn't work out and devastated you?
I did.
Okay, that's usually what kicks in closet commitment phobia. Okay, you didn't start out life afraid of commitment. Obviously, you had a relationship that didn't work out. But once we have one that doesn't work out, it can make us really afraid. I mean, the third kind of commitment phobia is a committed commitment phobic. They marry a person they don't love all that much. They come home with their bodies, but their hearts, soul, minds are elsewhere. And that's not true commitment. So most people are really afraid of love. And if you were to look back at the relationship that didn't work out, do you think he was a soulmate or was he a man to fit a plan? He just seemed right at the time. We have more than one soulmate.
I would have said that was more of a soulmate than the relationship I'm in now with the attraction.
Okay, so you had a very strong soulmate connection with him. And so when a soulmate relationship doesn't work, it can really devastate us. It feels like a death. It's really scary. I mean, is it possible because you've had a very strong soulmate that you don't think this one has the capacity to be that strong a relationship? Is that what's going on in you?
No, I mean, I'm very open. I'm the one that has kept the lines of communication open. I'm the one that's encouraged talking. I'm the one that's encouraged finding a compromise, all of that.
Okay, and the compromise would be you controlling how often you see each other? Do you want it to be like, okay, we see each other twice a week, we see each other once a week?
I actually left it open for a discussion, and then it didn't even get that far.
Well, because, you know, sometimes people don't want to discuss, and that would show there's a communication breakdown here. And, you know, at some level, he's kind of letting you know it's his way or no way.
Right.
So I don't think you came this far in liberation to have a man say, you got to go, you know, do it my way or it's not going to exist. I mean, it would show that, you know, he's not very compromising. I mean, I see he really cares about you. I mean, it seems like you were his dream girl, and maybe he's just hurt. But, you know, if a person doesn't let you go in an arena to fight for a relationship, how are you going to do this? You
right.
need him. And it could really show that he does have some commitment issues. In other words, once you tried to slow it down, which isn't unreasonable, if it was going a little bit too fast, and just saying, let's take it a little bit slow, you know, he could have said, okay, fine. Now he can turn around and say, well, it's not my fault this didn't work. She didn't want it. She's the one who slowed it down. She's the one who stops it. So he can kind of blame it on you. So it looks like he's been hurt, too. Do you know about that, his past? Did he share any of that with you? And
he
it doesn't look like he got over that all that easily. And he may still have some of that residual. But if he's not willing to talk to you, there's not much that you can do other than maybe stop chasing him at this point. Give him, say, okay, you're not ready to, you know, compromise and talk. And stop communicating and see if losing you and you not talking to him makes him want to come back. I mean, as long as you're chasing him,
right?
He'll keep running. So when was the last time you talked to him?
4 weeks ago.
Good, and keep it going here, okay? Don't give in to him now and talk, because then he can still run. What you want to do is wait. Usually takes about 3 months for people to really start realizing, I miss this person, I need to step up to the plate, and, you know, I want to speak to her. You know, he seemed to let you in, and I think, you know, that was a big step for him. But, you know, we can't tiptoe around people so much, and you don't want to feel like you know, anytime we need to talk, he's going to shut the door, or he's going to not be able to communicate, because it's not healthy in a relationship. I mean, talking is paramount. You have to be able to communicate. And unfortunately, true commitment phobics will slam a door. Again, he's going to blame it on you at some level. And in his mind, he'll say, well, it wasn't my fault. And, you know, it could show a level of narcissism, because narcissists don't care if they hurt you. I mean, normally, you want to speak to him. That's the normal thing. We had this thing going. Okay, we put a little brakes on it. Now let's talk. I mean, that's normal. Okay, you got a little scared. I took a step back. Now I want to talk. Him running now away from this shows commitment phobia. So, you know, he's really been hurt. He's really scared. There's a little bit of depression in his cards right now. He's upset. But, you know, you can't keep chasing him if he won't communicate. So pray, do our prayer. We always have a prayer that says, pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. If it's this man, so be it. If it's someone else, then let the universe, you know, bring that forth. But I think you really do want to be with a soulmate, don't you?
I do.
Because once you've had a soulmate, it's very hard to settle for something less, by the way. And
yeah, I agree with you.
You know, you can't casually date. It doesn't feel fun. People aren't interchangeable with each other. But this man seems to have a lot of anxiety. Did you know that when you were with him?
No.
But it seems to be surfacing in him now. So, you know, he may contact you in a month or so and ask him, what's your intention? Is it, you know, is to talk and communicate? That's great. And, you know, just you have to be strong. I mean, I'm sure right now you're wondering, you know, what you did wrong, and maybe you shouldn't have said anything. But you can't feel like you express a need or a thought and that somebody's going to just walk away. But you really didn't do anything for him not to want to communicate. Can you see that?
I do. I definitely do.
So, I mean, this is really his issue. And again, if people are more used to toxic love, it's harder for them to learn how to communicate what you meant. I mean, maybe he felt rejected. Did he express to you he was feeling rejected by you?
Yeah, a little bit. And then I clarified that. And, you know, I thought that was solved.
Right. And then he just started pulling away?
Right.
Okay. He's scared. I mean, and again, if you call him now or in a month from now, you have to really wait till he contacts you. Because otherwise he'll just say, okay, she's still after me and I could still run.
Right, right. And no, I have no intention of contacting him.
No, and it seems hard to do it. And, of course, there's no real closure here. It's almost a form of ghosting where someone sort of disappears without explanation and talking. It's really unpleasant, by the way. It's a really unpleasant experience because relationships do need some closure. And,
right.
You know, that's where you're sort of feeling like, I don't know, is this still open or closed? What the universe will do is see what his thoughts register for the next 3 months. If he registers, he misses you, he wants to come back, he's doing inner searching. You know, they'll sort of, you know, keep the door open. Around the three-month mark, the universe starts closing the door, saying, look, if he can't make up his mind, then we'll start bringing in alignment, another soulmate for you. So, you know, but just keep in mind, when you were with the other soulmate, didn't it progress very quickly when you were with him as well?
It did.
And that didn't scare you?
No, it didn't.
Okay, so why didn't that one scare you and this one scared you? Do you have any explanation for that?
I just felt more pressured in this one.
Okay, so it was pressuring you to commit kind of thing?
Right.
Okay, and again, you know, you're a good catch. I can understand why he would, you know, want to not lose you at that time. But sometimes commitment phobics, if you're a little bit afraid and he sensed you're a little bit afraid, he wouldn't mind coming on strong to you. But then when, you know, you were expressing things, it would give him an excuse to run away because it looks more like he just had an excuse to run now. And, you know, you didn't do anything that couldn't have been worked out or fixed, but in his mind he could say it wasn't his fault. So,
right.
You know, unfortunately, I see this an awful lot, and it is around the six-month mark. that it is, the relationship either it makes it or it breaks it. And, you know, again, it's not over yet. I'm not seeing that he's over you. He looks like he's thinking about you a lot. And, you know, he thinks about talking to you and then he hesitates. So give him a little time and, you know, just don't contact him. And I'm glad that you already came to that conclusion.
Yeah, because I came to that conclusion.
You know, we didn't come this far in liberation to have a man tell, don't call me, I'll call you, and, you know, don't communicate, I'll communicate when I feel like it. But it looks like he probably will try to contact you in probably a month or two. So you'll see what he has to say at that point. Well, thank you for sharing your story with us. I don't think it's uncommon. I just think it's sad.
I hear you. Thank you so much.
You know what I'm saying? It's like you were trying to figure something out. Well, good luck to you, and let us know what happens if he should contact you.
Okay, I will. Thanks a lot.
Bye. Okay. Now, Nicole's not here to remind anyone who would like to speak to me. You have to press 1. If you don't press 1, you're not in the queue, and I don't know that you want to speak. So I do see we have a Florida number of 561, and the last 4 digits are 7419, and I'm putting you through. Hello, it's Cindy, and you're live and on the air.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, and who is this?
Laura.
Hi, Laura. How are you doing in Florida?
Good. How are you, Cindy?
Okay. I know you were going through a lot of changes and a lot of things when we last communicated. And you can start asking questions that you need answers to, and I'll just try to, you know, plug in as fast as I can to get you the answers for you.
Yeah, well, actually, I am going to have a reading with you. I'm going to be contacting you this week to set it up because I think that I need a reading. I think there's too much going on.
And I know there's a lot
I do want to ask you. Yeah, I do want to ask you one weird thing, though. About 4 years ago, I kind of dated this guy. We used to hang out. We were all going out, and, you know, it was no big deal. It was over. But the last 6 or 7 months, I keep running into him. Now, he doesn't recognize me because I've dyed my hair blonde. I have dark glasses on. In this particular grocery store, like, I'm getting lottery tickets. He's behind me. I'm coming down the aisle. There he is. I'm going with the basket. Now, I'm not sure he remembers me. I'm not sure if I should have said hello. I mean, there could be nothing between us, like, romantically, but I'm wondering if that's a coincidence or was he supposed to tell me something, or I just found it to be awfully weird.
It seems like the universe has put you in alignment with him to at least say hello and communicate.
Okay.
And, you know,
I didn't say hello.
And it's, you know, it's the Tracy Chapman song, We're Less Than Strangers. You know, like sometimes we'll just say hello to a stranger in a store if we keep running into them. But is there a reason you don't want to say hello to him? Did it end badly, this relationship?
No, it was just like more like a friendship. I don't know. I just, you know, he didn't really recognize me. Put on a few pounds. My hair is blonde. I don't even know if he recognized me or not. But I was wondering why that it was, you know, once you can understand, maybe twice. But this was happening quite often.
And I would say the universe would like you to say hello to him. You know, and
okay.
You know, say I'm Laura. Do you know, we, you know, 4 years ago, do you remember me? And you know, and just have a conversation. It doesn't look like it's supposed to lead necessarily to a relationship, but, you know, he may, like you said, he may have a message to deliver to you, or you might, you know, it's just something that I would just say hello to him and see what's going on here.
I mean, okay, so if I
you're pretty intuitive yourself. You're pretty intuitive yourself. So
yeah,
if your gut's telling you, if your gut's telling you there's something here, I got to just, like, talk to him. I mean, it could be someone that he knew died or something that he might want to share with you, and you might have a moment of soulful connection. He may tell you, there's some friends, we're getting together. Would you like to, you know, join us? It could be something simple or something, you know, more complex, but you don't keep running into a person for no reason over and over again.
I thought that was odd. Yeah.
I mean,
I didn't think
the odds of that happening are pretty low. And again, if you once knew a person, you should never be afraid just to, you know, communicate. And of course, if he doesn't recognize you and you know you've changed a bit, it's understandable why he might not recognize you. But
yeah, I put on a few pounds. My hair color is different. I, you know,
but he seems to have liked you.
Yeah, he did.
As a person. So,
I liked
I mean,
him, too. Yeah, I liked him, too, but not as a, you know,
right, so
boyfriend.
Maybe you need to, maybe he has some new friends or people that could help, you could meet that could help you in your life at this point. Or, you know, opening the door to him could be a good thing. I don't see it being a bad thing by saying hello. I mean, it's like.
Do you think I'm going to run into him again now?
Yeah, it looks like you're going to run into him again, probably sooner than later. And, you know, and if it was a female, let's put it this way, if it was a female friend, would you have said hello?
Probably, yes.
Okay, so it didn't be any different just because
well,
it's a male.
Well, I thought maybe I didn't look good enough because I was just running in the grocery store, you know.
Oh, yeah, well, if I'm running in the grocery store and I look like hell, Lori, expect me not to say hello to you or anybody else. I just want to get out of there, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
But you might want to, if, since you, when you go in the grocery store, to take a little time to look your best. So you feel a little confident if you run into him, you know. I mean, I used to be a theater major at the University of Connecticut, and we were taught, you know, your body's your instrument. Never go to even the food store without looking your best. So I tend to, go with. But the few times I've ever had to run in looking like hell, boy, I didn't say hello to anybody. You know, you just pull my hat down and, like, get through that store pretty fast. So just go in there, you know, looking your best so that you want to say hello to him. And, you know, don't be self-conscious. Cause,
and if it happens, it happens again. I mean, I don't know. It's been so many times, but, yeah.
Right. And of course, you know, the universe will sometimes just keep putting us alignment with a person because we're supposed to ask them something. Or, you know, sometimes they could just deliver a message about someone that you guys knew. That, you know, sometimes it's that you have a mutual friend that died or something and people want to, you know, it's a message they have to deliver to us. So it doesn't have to be something really about you two. It could be about something else. So
yeah,
you know, I noticed even, it's like with Facebook, sometimes people will reconnect or I'll try to find someone on, you know, Facebook and it's interesting to find out what's happened to them or not happened to them. So you know, just look at it as the universe thinks it's a fun thing anyway. It's not nothing bad going to happen from it, from these cards. It looks
and this guy that
nice
I'm
man.
This guy that I'm actually with now, is this ever going to end? Am I ever going to be able to get out of there?
Oh God! Now, you know, there's no place worse than being in a toxic relationship. And he doesn't want to let you out too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, unfortunately, I got some bad cards on him. Like, he's a real schemer and a manipulator.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, he's not very good, the cards here, what I'm seeing about him. So, you know, my thoughts are you may want to try to speed up getting away from him. I mean, that's why I'm not even talking to this man. Who knows, maybe he can offer you some help or something. Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe he, or something. So, but no, this man doesn't want to let you go, the one you're living with.
Yeah.
Why should he? You're a good catch. But, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to happen soon unless you really start making it happen.
Right.
Are you doing anything to make it happen?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm working, which, you know, I'm trying, but it's not easy.
No, it's not. It's never easy to break up a relationship, which is your home. It's bad enough to break up, like our caller before from Connecticut, when you're not living together. It's hard enough. Imagine when you have to divide property in a home, it's much more difficult, or you have to find a new place to live. That's a lot harder to break up with.
Right, because everything is. I could just walk away from this, but I don't have enough to start again. You know what I mean?
Right, so that's a problem.
Yeah,
so
a big problem. It's been the major problem.
Well, that's why maybe talking to this man, who knows, maybe is a job offer for you, maybe, you know, something. You never know. So
talk to
someone and, you know, maybe he knows a place where you could live or, you know, something. So you need to be asking people for help and letting people know that you need some help. And, you know, I'm not seeing you're going to be living with this guy for more than a year. So I hope it's sooner than that you get out of here. But
okay, yeah.
But we want you to be happy, you know, and move forward. So do me a favor, if you run into this man and you talk to him, let us know what he had to say. Be really curious.
Yeah, I will. I will.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Okay, and I'm
going
to. Yeah, because I'm thinking that's really strange. And I am. I'm going to. Do I email you? And
yeah, you can just email me and we'll set something up.
Okay.
That'll be
wonderful.
Terrific.
I'm going
to.
Yeah, I'm
going to
do that
weekend.
Tomorrow. You
and,
too.
And
thanks.
And I'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay, we have a couple of listeners. Yes. Okay. This is a 631 number. The last four digits are 1026. Hi, it's Cindy, and you're live on the air.
Hi, this is Jean.
Hi, Jean. Where are you calling from?
Bayshore.
Oh, so you're close to us. I knew it was Suffolk County. Now, Jean, you've been waiting a long time, so I'm sure there's something on your mind today. Good. So you want to dive right in with your questions?
I have a lot of questions.
Good.
I'm just wondering about my future and my relationship right now. It's kind of at like a kind of a turning point. So I was just wondering, I guess along those lines, if I'm going the right way.
Okay, I got the Hangman card, which is a pretty big change that needs to be taking place in this relationship. How long have you been in with this person?
A year and a half.
Okay. And there definitely was a very strong connection between the two of you. Did you think he was your soulmate?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We
okay,
both
there's
think
a
that.
Strong soulmate connection here. It looks like you have some issues you need to work out. Are you communicating to him at this point about the issues?
Yes, we have been doing some couples counseling a little bit. We just
Is it
started.
Helping any? Is it helping?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Because what I see here is, you know, you two started out as soulmates. There's a very strong heart, soul, mind, body connection. 1% of people manage to maintain this animal. They start dragging it down the ladder of love to something less than what it should be. They start dragging it down to toxic. They fight. Or sometimes we just shut up and take each other for granted or don't communicate. The two of you are reliving some aspects of your parents' marriages. Are you aware of that? We always have to relive our parents' marriage. What was your parents' marriage like?
They're still married. Well, when they started out, my dad, I guess, was very loving and, like, I guess I think about it kind of like how he is to me, but now they're very, like, they don't really talk too much here and there. You know, they're not, you could tell they're not as close as they have issues.
Your parents
going
don't,
on.
They don't communicate as well. So it went from probably
like
soulmate.
Used to be. Yeah.
Right. Now they kind of went down to like taking each other for granted.
Like just living together. Yeah.
It's very hard to tell who started out as soulmates after a 10-year period, and who started out as a man and woman to fit a plan, which was never a great love affair. Because it all starts looking about the same after a while. But at some level, you know, you might be doing that in your relationship, perhaps, you know, you're went to taking each other for granted. But he also has to relive his parents' marriage, which looks like there were a lot of issues in that marriage. Do you know about that?
You know, they were never married. They were together for a short time. But it does resonate, at least their relationship, our relationship is, I hope it doesn't end the same way. But.
Well, can you see, what happens when we're little, we sit in judgment of our parents. We're 3 years old, we're eating popcorn, watching their relationship like it's a movie, and judging it. If I were married, everybody would be lovey-dovey, nobody cheat, nobody be mean, nobody do anything wrong, because I could fix everybody. We get a little bit bigger and wonder why they married each other in the first place. And we start fighting like they did. He doesn't have a very good role model of relationships, your boyfriend. Are you aware of that?
No. Yeah.
So he doesn't know how to make this thing work, okay? So you've got some elements of your parents' marriage, and you've got some of his dysfunction going on. But what love really needs is for you two to stop judging. Like, he's trying to figure out why mommy couldn't make daddy stay, okay? So he's going to push you in some ways to figure out how far did mom push, you know, dad for him to leave.
Right.
But sometimes he's pushing you. He's pushing you.
Yes.
And so what you're going to, you know, have to do is not let him push your crazy buttons. If he's doing something that's, you know, upsetting you, you can ask him, you know, what can I do to help you? I mean, what's going on here? Not give into it. Do you understand that? Not look for a fight,
but look
for... Yeah, I
totally understand that. Yeah, cause
right,
because we never fight. We never,
right.
We're very similar in that kind of temperament. Never, ever fight, but there are still issues where he will do things that are similar to what you're saying in his relationship view, like to push and push and push.
And push it. And what,
boundaries.
You know...
Yeah,
right, because he doesn't have healthy boundaries. He doesn't have healthy boundaries.
He has no idea. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the kind of thing that you can, like, gently point out. He also has a very good sense of humor, by the way. Did you know he has a good sense of humor? He has a grandfather who passed away. Do you know about that? It's a father thing.
Yeah.
It's a, okay, because the grandfather says he has a very good sense of humor. Right, he has a very good sense of humor. So sometimes you can say it's funny, and he'll get the message. You don't have to hit it hard.
We both are pretty the same.
Mm-hmm. So he loves you, and he wants this to work. But he needs some private therapy more than couples therapy. Are you aware of that? He has some issues that are not about you.
He's in rehab right now, long-term facility. So he gets the private therapy now that he needs.
Okay. Is he in rehab for drug abuse or alcohol?
Yeah.
Now, soulmates cannot be soulmates and maintain it if one person's an addict or an alcoholic. It starts dragging the love down the ladder. You're a nice person, so I'm sure you've shut up a lot. But understand that. Good. And understand that he's judged his father pretty harshly. And, you know, we can judge people's actions, okay? He can judge his father's actions as unacceptable, but not judge the person. And the greatest act of love that his father did was leave him alone. This man was not a good man. If he had stuck around and raised his kid, forget about it. I mean, at least he loved him enough to leave him. But what's happening is he's becoming his father at some level. And we become what we judge. So it's him understanding how life is hard. You know, he judges his father, boy, if I was a grown-up, I wouldn't do drugs, I wouldn't do anything. I'd be here, I'd be raising my son, I'd be good. And God's saying, can you see how hard life is?
Wow,
So it's his lesson
right
in not, not judging his father for his addictions that his father couldn't overcome, not judging his mother, why couldn't you fix daddy? Because daddy's unfixable, because he's not only a drug addict, the man's a narcissist, he's a manipulator, and he's judgmental. His father is unfixable. And what's happening is he's become an unfixable only because he's on drugs. Anybody on drugs becomes unfixable until they clean up. Because addicts are manipulators. And they're judgmental. They're judging you. You're not being nice to me. You're not being this. It's not my fault. My friend bought me the drugs. So know that he has become his father, and what you might want to talk about is that we become what we judge. So if we swear we're never going to be our parents, I guarantee you're going to be them.
Right.
So you need to forgive your parents for whatever they've done. He needs to come to the place that his father loved him enough to leave him alone, and that the mother fell in love with the father. They had been soulmates at one point. It was very painful for her when it didn't work out, by the way. So,
immensely.
And it would be the same thing for you if he can't step up to the plate. Now, you're going to have to not be great.
Do you see that he's like going to be like his dad completely, or he needs to just stop like judging?
He needs to stop judging his father, and then he won't be him anymore.
So it won't be his. Wow,
he won't leave him anymore. He needs to forgive his father for not being able to heal his addictions, because now he knows how hard it is to heal an addiction. He needs to forgive his mother for picking the father in the first place, but they were soulmates. She didn't really pick him. They were in love. He needs to forgive her for not being able to fix the father. We cannot fix people. They have to fix themselves, and that's what you need to know with your boyfriend. You can't fix him.
I've learned that. Yeah, they just
you
said
can
that
love
to
him.
Me. Tuesday, they just said that to me.
Okay, you can love him. You can be there for him. But unconditional love doesn't mean you stick around and allow a person to be an addict. When we love somebody unconditional, sometimes we need to separate from them. He needs to lose you to realize that, you know, he's going to lose the love of his life if he doesn't clean up his act.
Yeah, and, he realized that.
And it's hard for you to be tough because you're an older soul. Older souls are what God would call the great enablers. We enable everybody. We're always cleaning up their mess. And we're the crap takers. We could take a lot of crap from people. But he has become his father. He's hit a little bit of rock bottom. Is he under the age of 25, Jean, by the way?
He's 25.
Okay, good. It's important. And you need to really maybe, listen to this podcast again. It will be on my website, Grant Me a Higher Love, and maybe tape it on your iPhone so that you can listen later on to it.
Right.
25 is a really important age because at 25, brain chemistry becomes really solidified.
Yep.
And between after the age of 25, when you start being 26, a person is who they are, and they become increasingly unfixable. So you've got like a year for him to really stop with his manipulation with the drugs, stop with his judgment of his mom and dad. He is in really getting therapy, which he needs, which is great, which is great. If he wasn't in therapy, I'd tell you, look, if he's not willing to go to therapy, you might as well forget it. You might as well forget it.
Yeah.
Okay, but he's doing his therapy. You're going to be there for him. The next year will be all crucial and all important because if you start seeing at 26, he keeps falling off the wagon.
Right.
And, you know, and you have to be really trusting your gut. If your gut tells you he's stoned, he's stoned. I don't care if he's telling you he's not. You're going to and now put it this way. I want you to love yourself the way you would love your daughter because if you marry this man, you'll probably have a daughter with him. Would you want her raised by a man who's a drug addict?
Absolutely not. I've seen what happens when that happens. I've seen his family. You know, he has a sister, so I see.
Right.
No.
You wouldn't want that.
No.
Right, and you wouldn't want him to drive your daughter under the influence. So he loves you enough, by the way, and his grandfather is saying, I will help all I can. That, you know, sometimes, if in walking away from him, by the way, and, you know, if you have to, your intention is not to hurt him. It's self-preservation, and it's love of him. You love him enough because soulmates have to love each other enough to walk away if they're enabling each other. If he can't grow with you, then maybe the wake-up call has to be losing you. And maybe it'll have to play itself all the way to that, where you have to actually break up with him and no communication.
Yeah.
And he has to then realize he's lost you. And in that knowledge, clean up his act. So, you know, right now, it's more dependent on what he does. What, excuse me?
I'm sorry.
It may have to happen. It may have to happen. And again, that doesn't mean it's over. It means he's going to have to seriously know that, you know, he can't have his cake and eat it too. He can't have his drugs and you. And, you know, unfortunately, I have way too many young clients of your age whose, you know, lovers have died of heroin overdoses and overdoses. It's an astronomical. I put my head on the table every day and say it's 12 years ago on Long Island when I first started talking about how much heroin was on Long Island 12 years ago. If people had taken it seriously and not covered up the mess, this mess wouldn't be here now.
Worst thing ever created.
It wouldn't be here. It would not be here. And I was very vocal saying the school systems were not handling it properly. They were calling their parents when the kids were selling heroin in school instead of calling the police. It was all covered up. to keep house prices from crashing. But you need to know this is a problem. And the one thing that could help an addict is he's going to have to love you more than he loves his drugs. And if he can't love you more than he loves his drugs, then there will be no hope. So it's, you know, he can't be, you know, he can use sometimes or, you know, it's going to have to be all or nothing.
Yeah, this is it.
I mean, he is a good guy. He has a good heart. And he's a smart guy. But I need you to promise me and is that you will not get pregnant from him. You use your contraception. Do not get pregnant with him. Because then you're going to play out the whole situation where you're going to have to be his mother and you're going to have to be raising a child alone with a drug-addicted father.
Now, is that what you see, even though he's trying to get help and get better now?
Right. Until he's totally clean, you are not to get pregnant with it from him. So,
well, I just found out that I am.
Okay, and I had that funny feeling. I had the funny feeling, my darling. Okay, and
so now you see that that's what's going to happen? Is it's not going to get better?
Well, it could be that he's going to love that baby enough, and you're going to say you have a choice now to be your father and be an addict and not be here to raise your child, or you can you can be the man that your father should have been.
Like
be
a wake-up call.
His love for this child can help him clean up. But again, if he's
clean, that's what he said.
And if he's not clean a year from now, that baby is never to be driven in a car with him under the influence.
No. I've already said
you understand that? I have seen it sometimes, his love. But remember, he's now his father. And you're going to say, now that you've become your father, you need to forgive the man, not his actions. His actions were unforgivable, but he abandoned you because it was an act of love. He knew he would harm you and hurt you if he stuck around. So now you're going to love our baby enough to clean up your act. And, you know, your child that's in you is an old soul. It didn't, you know, it's hoping to be that beacon of light to help heal his father. But again, a beacon of light is a 10% chance that it can, that this being can fix his father. He has to fix himself. Do you understand that? The 90% of the work has to be done on his part. Just promise, you know, promise your, you know, the baby that's inside of you. And God was saying maybe this will help him wake up. But know that his love for you and for this baby has to be very, very, very strong. And you have to tell him you will not be there in this baby's life if you're an addict.
Right. He's
and
even
be
said
strong.
That.
Good.
You know,
good. And then he will become his father.
He
He'll abandon his child.
Right.
Does he want history to repeat itself? Can you see how history repeats itself?
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's such a vicious cycle. But for you, you know, you will be okay. You know, hopefully you'll go back to being soulmates again. If he can't clean up his act, the soul that's inside of you will have to learn that not all fathers are good, not all fathers deserve honoring, and that's a lesson sometimes people have to learn. Let's hope that's not the lesson your child needs to learn. Let's hope he has a wonderful father. And you need to practice the laws of attraction, visualize you and your baby happy, him doing well, see the outcome that you want.
Okay.
Can you do me a favor and call in again in the very near future and let us know what's happening?
Yeah, definitely.
Because we'll keep you going, you know, we'll keep you strong here. But now take very good care of yourself. Eat well. Don't worry about him so much. Worry about the little beautiful baby inside of you. And, you know, you will be a wonderful mother, whether he's going to be a wonderful father. You know, right now he's determined, so let's hope that that stays that way. He's very determined. Well, good luck to you. We're at the end of our show. And thank you so much for calling
in
and sharing your story, because it's a very common story on Long Island. And, you know, I've seen at least 50% of the time it work where the men step up to the plate. So it's not the worst odds here. So let's hope he's the 50%er that steps up to the plate.
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Good night, everybody, and we're going to wish Nicole a wonderful wedding tomorrow. And I know she's busy. Bye, and thank you for calling into our show.